My name's Darren. I'm a sober alcoholic guy here in Southeast Texas. I'm not a native Texan. I was born in the Pacific Northwest, and I lived in California for 34 years, and now I'm here. Thanks for asking me to do this. It's been a minute since I've got to be the speaker, and that's great. And I'll try to talk about me and not make a bunch of generalizations and of what I think is right and blah blah blah. But the only reason I'm alive today right now is because I don't drink anymore, and the only reason I don't drink anymore is because of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's just the truth. And I got sober in traditional AA, and eventually I had to stop pretending that was working for me and that I understood it and that I was down with all of it. And I don't have to anymore. And specifically, I've been able to stop and stay stopped for about 6.5 years, a little more than that. And that's because of the people in these rooms. It's purely because of the other people who encouraged me and helped me and really inspired me to get a hold of this and get active in this and participate in my own recovery. And to tell the truth, I learned how to tell the truth in Alcoholics Anonymous. It was the craziest thing. And the truth is that I don't believe in a God or a deity or gods or demons or angels or divine intervention or any of that. And I'm sober. I'm a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, specifically secular Alcoholics Anonymous. Even though, you know, like I said, I did get the start in traditional AA. So I think I want to talk about what I was like and what happened and what I'm like now. Speaking of telling the truth, my original sobriety date back in the day was October 10th, 1989. I was 24 and my life was just completely shattered. I had lost my job. I'd lost my girlfriend. I'd lost my boyfriend. Go ahead and figure that for yourselves. I didn't have a place to live. I mean, it was just bad. And I didn't have any prospects. And I was really rapidly running out of money for alcohol and drugs and food. And it looked like the food was going to have to go. And somehow I ended up in an AA meeting. And I thought it was a seance. It was a candlelit meeting when they actually used candles. And I didn't know what was going on. And it completely freaked me out. But I'm trying to run out the door as soon as it's over. And a guy stops me. And he shook my hand. He said, "Hey, I'm so-and-so. There's another meeting over here at this other place tomorrow night. Why don't you come there?" And I actually did. And that was kind of the start of it. And I did some of the stuff. And, you know, I got a sponsor and did some of the piddly steps and farted around with it. And I hung around in that place for 3 years. And I didn't drink. And then I got really jaded and disappointed, and I couldn't hear this stuff over, and I just couldn't hear it anymore. It was driving me crazy, and so I left, and I still didn't drink for another 3 years, a little over 3 years. And then in January of 1996, I was out of town on a job, and things were going well. My career had sort of taken off. I got married. All this great stuff is happening, and I'm at a rap party, and I pick up a drink. And so I picked up that drink after 6 years with no drinking. And then it only took me 19 and a half years to get sober again. Because the only thing I'm convinced of about myself is that I just get worse. That's the only thing that I know about me and alcohol, is that I just get worse. I never got better at drinking, and I never got better at not drinking. Until some things landed on me, and I was able to change thanks because of other people. And you know, there it is. There's my relapse. There's my big relapse. Oh, you took a drink after 6 years. And I like the definition of relapse. Let me find it here. To fall back, to deteriorate, to take a turn for the worse, after a period of improvement. I didn't understand it. And every time I tried to get sober after that, it got harder and harder and harder. And then eventually, I knew I couldn't stop. So I stopped trying to stop. And I just sort of decided that I couldn't stop this stuff. So I'm just going to drink myself to death. Or I don't know if I was suicidal, but I know I didn't care. And that didn't work either. So in July of 2015, I woke up and I realized that I was in yet another detox. And I thought, oh man, here we go again. And I had this bright idea. I thought, I know I'm going to finally really bear down. I'm going to really do this thing. I'm going to take this seriously and I'm going to do all the steps and try to believe in a God and all of these other things. And I think I got a chance. I can really do this. And the very next thought was like a little voice in my head. And it said, oh, come on. You know exactly what you're going to do. You're going to go to meetings and get a sponsor and clean it up for a while. And as soon as the opportunity presents itself for you to drink and get away with it, you're going to be drunk again. And I knew that that was the truth. And, you know, I've heard people call it the moment of clarity or a moment of grace or whatever. To me, that was just the truth. Finally, I kind of saw myself for who I was. And the fact was that I'm going to do it again. And I kind of understood what a step one was at that point. I wasn't reading it. I wasn't thinking about it, but it just sort of happened. I don't know if that was the turning point or how that helped, but I think I really want to talk about the people in our organization. I'm a book guy. I know that big blue book really well, even though there's not a lot that I have come to agree with or anything like that. But it does have some good stuff in it for me. It does have some stuff that I can still apply. But it has a couple of things that I'm going to pull them up. And the one is that in the traditional AA meeting, they'll read the how it works. And then they get to the ABCs. And the B is that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And in another part of the book, it talks about with brief exceptions, he has no defense against the first drink and no human being can provide this defense. It has to come from a higher power. And my experience is just the opposite. My experience is nothing but help from other people. And eventually learning how to help people like me, which is not what I intended to do. I didn't intend to get sober and go, man, I'm going to be Mr. AA and help all the people that I possibly can. That was not my intention, but I really do love this stuff. I really love being sober and I love trying to help, making the effort to help in my own limited capacity and with my own limitations. It has become something very important to me. Because I've spoken about this in other meetings too. And I said that no human power can relieve your alcoholism. And then what do they tell you to do? Well, they tell you to go to meetings. if it's traditional, they tell you to get a sponsor, listen to other people, hang out with other people, with sober people and stick with the winners and all of this other stuff. And all of the advice is about other people. And that's what's inspired me is the people in AA, the people. I went to the convention in Toronto and I was about 3 years sober, I think, maybe a little over 3 years sober. And it was absolutely inspiring. It lit me up. I was so happy that I made the effort to go there and that I attended and I listened to these great people. And that is it. This is about human power. This is about human interaction. This is about putting our shoulders to the same wheel. And there's some great results. I just I can't emphasize that enough. It's the other people and the other and the similarities and just being inspired and becoming curious and really taking this seriously and giving this thing the respect that it deserves. The old addiction, alcoholism, disease, illness, condition, whatever you want to call it. And really getting sober and staying sober for me is about, it's really about three things. It's about change. It's about freedom, specifically from the booze and the drugs, but from a lot of other stuff as well. And the third one for me is that it's about the elimination of fears, the elimination of these irrational fears and this irrational thinking. And it's just been the most amazing journey for me. I really thought that my life was over. At least I didn't care if it was over or not. And I realized that I was wrong about that. You know, I was just wrong, and that's okay. I've learned how okay it is for me to be wrong about stuff, and that I don't have to latch on to the certainty that I'm right about this or I'm right about that, or you're wrong about this and all of that stuff. I still make a real effort here in my little town in Southeast Texas to help people. We just got I directed in a show last year into a treatment center. And it was eye-opening, and it was difficult. And he'll be there for another 3 weeks, I think. And it was all worth it. It was worth all of the effort and all of the stress and dealing with his mom and dealing with his employers and dealing with all this other stuff. It was all worth it. And I don't know what the results are going to be. I don't get to determine what the results are. I can only take the action and try to help. And, but I have, you know, a lot of hope, that he'll come out of there and do what I did and take this stuff seriously and latch on. I think it's Johan Hari who wrote the book Chasing the Scream. And he has that great TED talk about we're looking at addiction all wrong, and that it's not about this. It's about connection. It's about the lack of connection. And I like that a lot as well. Because I can see in myself how disconnected how I was and how just listening and just trying to calm down. And that needs, I need help with that. I still need help with that today. I still get burned up about stuff, but I don't lose my mind anymore, you know, and getting sober and staying that way. What I think happened for me is that my mind healed. I didn't have a personality change sufficient to get rid of the alcoholism. What happened is basically that over time, my mind does what our bodies are meant to do, I think, which is heal, which is to get better. And it took a long time. It took a very, very long time for me off the alcohol for me to sort of recognize that I was kind of myself again. And that was like a year and a half. And I kind of just sort of woke up and went, oh, well, this is different. And I've had so many experiences. He's my husband now, but I was 99 days sober out of the rehab, and I'm going to the meetings and I'm doing the deal. And we're living in Burbank, and his 91-year-old father had a massive stroke, and he didn't die right away, but he wasn't going to make it. And it's about, I don't know, 6 o'clock at night or something. And So I just went into that. Okay, what have I got to do? I got to get him on a plane, hopefully tonight, maybe get him on a red eye tonight. I've got to do this. I've got to get this going. I've got to get that going. And I still have a sponsor today, and I like the whole sponsorship idea. But anyway, I got to call my sponsor and all this stuff. And wait, so I've got all these things done. And then I sort of realized that I'm going to be alone again. And I'm going to be in the same house that I was attempting to drink myself to death in. And I don't have to work tomorrow or the next day or the next day or the next day. And all of the lights just sort of turn green at the same time. And I know that I can drink and I can probably get away with it. And it was like this huge sigh of relief, because for the first time in my adult life, I knew that I wasn't going to do it. I didn't have to do that. Something had already changed. Something was already better. And that's another moment, just another experience that I've had that I would never have had if it weren't for this stuff. I got huge problems with traditional AA. Big, big, huge problems. I think it's very discouraging for people, for non-believers or free thinkers or whatever, however people identify. And on the other side of that coin is, if it weren't for AA, I wouldn't be here. And this is the AA that I love. This is the Alcoholics Anonymous that I absolutely love and that I'm involved in. And it's reinvented me. It has reinvigorated me. I don't roll the way I used to roll. You know, I wake up every day, my feet hit the ground and I go, okay, my primary purpose today is to stay sober and try to help somebody else do the same thing. And the more effort I put into the second part of that statement, the less I have to put into the first one, worrying about me staying sober. And again, for me, it's about coming together, putting our shoulders to the same wheel, and learning how to care. For me, learning how to care, learning how to tell the truth, and then eventually learning the value of actually telling the truth, and then feeling good about telling the truth. That was the craziest thing too. I didn't think I could do it. I thought I was one of those people who are just constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves, or however it says. And I was wrong about that too. I was like, nope, actually, you know what? You can tell the truth. You're capable of actually telling the truth. And lo and behold, it does sort of set me free, quote unquote. I don't know if anybody's gonna take anything away from this. I rarely have something mapped out as far as speaking goes. So I'm going to wrap it up so people can participate. But I do want to close with some Bonnie Raitt lyrics, which I promise not to sing. And to me, they're just, and it's written by a sober, the lyrics are written by a sober guy. Anyway, it is this. I gave nearly all to building a wall that would hide me forever behind. But now even my doubt seems to know a way out. And I know you've changed my mind. And that's what I couldn't do. I couldn't change my own mind about this stuff. And that's why I needed the help. That's why I needed the people. I needed the other human beings to help me get off the drugs and the booze and stay off the drugs and the booze so that eventually my mind would come back and that I wouldn't have to try to change it myself and fix it myself, because I couldn't do it. Even though I wanted to really badly. That's the one thing I wanted more than anything, was just to be able to stop drinking and stay stopped all on my own. No AA, no nothing. Ha ha, I did it. And I couldn't do it. And I'm so glad I couldn't do it. I'm so grateful for this crazy condition. I'm so grateful that I had these problems, because if I wasn't as sick as I was, I would never have met you. I would never have been in these rooms. And that's been absolutely fantastic for me to get to that conclusion instead of and out of the self-pity and out of the poor me and out of all of that, to actually being grateful for this. I know that that didn't happen on my own. And I thank you guys for keeping this going, and specifically in this secular atmosphere. And I'm gonna wrap it up with that. Thanks.